Hey friends, welcome back for another episode. Oh my gosh, I think it's actually the 99th episode of Life Coaching for Dentists. I'm your host, Dr. Natanya Brown, which you've already figured out by now. And if this is your first episode, welcome. I'm so glad you're here. If you've been here for a while, welcome back. Today, I want to talk to you about something that I have actually presented on at various dental conferences over the last few years. And it crossed my mind. It dawned on me. I haven't actually really talked about this here on the podcast for a super long time, if at all. And so here we go. We're going to just dive right in. Today, we're talking about how to feel better. And this is part one of a three-part series. So you will really benefit most from making sure to listen to all three episodes. So today, first, I want to just start out with actually telling you a little bit more about me. It will potentially help you kind of understand how I even got into all this coaching stuff and some of the struggles that I went on early in my career when I didn't feel so great. So I want to take you back probably now, you know, pushing 9 years ago, 8, 9 years ago. I owned my endodontic practice. I was busy taking care of patients and staff, and in my case, as a specialist, referring dentists. Somewhere between having graduated dental school in 05 and buying my practice 10 years later, I got married, I had two kids. And, you know, the bottom line was I was running around taking care of everybody else, totally neglecting my own needs. And I felt extremely overwhelmed. I felt frustrated. And quite frankly, I felt stuck. I felt like I was on this hamster wheel or treadmill kind of situation where I just was feeling the need to just keep going and barely ever having a moment to myself. And, you know, what ended up happening is I would come home and I couldn't wait for that moment when I would, you know, be done cleaning up from dinner. I would get the kids to bed and inevitably, you know, maybe there was 5, 10 minutes I would get to, if that, to sit on the couch and just decompress. And that would always involve some kind of food, to be honest. And when I talk about this situation, it sounds so simple and maybe even innocent, right? But I would really look forward to that moment that I could just decompress and you know, veg out. Maybe I'd be watching TV. I almost definitely would be eating a treat, probably something chocolate. And, you know, what's the problem with this? Well, for me in specific, I had a hard time losing the baby weight after my second kid. And what I later came to realize was that I had a lot of thoughts about my day and how stressed I was and how deserving I was of something yummy at the end of the day. I wanted to feel better because I was exhausted. I was stressed out. Maybe I was full of self-doubts. And when we ask ourselves, how have we been taught as a society, right? How have we been taught to feel better? There's a whole bunch of very easily accessible ways to feel better. And food is really at the top of the list. And so I was using food to feel better. Now, other options are alcohol, shopping, you know, Netflix or any kind of TV, scrolling on social media. And, you know, some of us will really look at planning vacations to feel better, right? Or if we're feeling burnt out, let's go on vacation. Other times, and I won't really get into this right now in this episode, some of us will actually overwork trying to feel better. Stay tuned because I'll bookmark that for a future episode. But the bottom line was, I had this strong feeling that at the end of a long day of dentistry, I deserved a treat that, as I already mentioned, would generally come in the form of chocolate, but I really wasn't that picky. If we didn't have chocolate in the house, I might just eat a bowl of Cheerios and or two or three. It didn't matter. And this didn't have anything to do with hunger. It had everything to do with a feeling of just deserving something. And it's not that different than, you know, training a dog to do a trick. And once the dog does the trick, they're pretty much expecting some kind of a reward for that, right? So, you know, kind of digging deep, I felt entitled to something yummy. And what I really want to talk about here in this first part of this three-part series is one option for how to handle negative feelings, which is to buffer them. So maybe you've heard of this concept before, maybe not. And so if this is new to you, I really want to give you the definition of what it means to buffer. Well, first of all, another term for this is to numb negative feelings. But essentially, a buffer is any action that we take to numb or to avoid a negative feeling. And specifically, it has a negative consequence. So, for example, if I were to eat potato chips, okay, I will know if I'm buffering based on the energy that I'm using to eat the potato chips. It's one thing, for example, to be eating them in a calm and mindful way, let's say as part of your meal. It's a totally different thing to be eating the potato chips in a reactive or an urgent way to feel better, right? So let's say I'm stressed in the middle of my workday seeing patients and I go to the break room. I'm looking for something to help me feel better, find the potato chips. I'm not eating the potato chips calmly and slowly. No, I'm eating them reactively. Okay. So this is just one example. And to quickly differentiate, the actions that I listed in terms of, you know, consuming food or alcohol, shopping, Netflix, scrolling social media, none of these things, I might add, are inherently bad for us or evil. You know, they certainly don't make us bad people. And yet, are we using them? You know, my question for you is, are you using any of these things to help yourself to feel better throughout the day? So why is it that we buffer? Well, as I already said, to avoid negative emotions. And if you listened to my this podcast last week, episode 98, it was really on, you know, why change can feel scary and defining the two parts of our brain that help us to make decisions. If you didn't listen to that episode, you definitely don't want to miss it, but I'll just quickly elaborate on the fact that there's two parts of our brain. One part of our brain is really the primitive part that just wants, it just cares about feeling good, finding instant gratification, and it wants to keep us out of pain. And so when we're feeling a negative emotion, it senses this primitive part of the brain senses the negative feelings as dangerous. So what it does is it wants us to feel better ASAP. It wants you to go find some kind of something that you can consume so that you can get some dopamine. When we consume food or alcohol, or we spend money on things, or we, you know, are watching TV or we're on social media, this is like a little hit of dopamine in your brain, right? And so temporarily, that feels amazing. The primitive brain basically is like telling you, why should you feel any negative feelings? You should just feel amazing all the time because it feels better, right? None of us want to feel negative feelings. And so the primitive part of your brain is really just concerned with you hitting the easy button, grabbing whatever thing that you can consume to feel better right now in the moment, okay? And so the other thing we have to be aware of when it comes to buffering is that typically when we're buffering, there are negative consequences. So either that's going to look like gaining weight, maybe development of a physical or mental health condition. It might impact our sleep. It may cause us to become addicted to some kind of a substance or abuse the substance. It may lead to going into financial debt. It could lead to feeling unproductive at work or in any other area in our lives, maybe feeling unfulfilled, And it could put a strain on our relationships, okay? So it's really important to recognize that buffering, while it feels good in the moment, it doesn't often feel good. It almost never feels good in the long run. So important. So as you're listening to this podcast episode, I really want you to think about how buffering might be relevant for you in your life. When you think about treating yourself with whatever kind of treat that you enjoy indulging in, right? Be it food or alcohol or, spending money or Netflix, whatever that I've already listed, right? Is it worth it to you? Or is the price tag, or is it not worth it, right? Is the price too high, so to speak? It's really important to get honest with ourselves. Now, something that I've heard so many times in dental circles and in my circle of friends, for example, I hear us say, I need a drink at the end of a day, especially a long day, you know, maybe a stressful day seeing patients, maybe a day where you get a negative Yelp review or you get a very disgruntled patient that's asking for a refund, for example. And I'm curious, have you ever had that thought to yourself or said to a colleague that you need a drink at the end of the day? Again, this doesn't make you a bad person. It's not evil. But just notice, is that the kind of relationship that you want to develop with, let's say, alcohol in this example? It leaves you in a position where in order to cope, you really need that external thing, right? So just pay attention to the buffers that you may be relying on to cope in your life. Ask yourself, in what way might I not be fully aware of the impacts that it has for me in my life? And what would that actually sound like to be really honest with yourself? So let's say, for example, if you were to tell yourself the full story, here's just some examples. Well, you might think to yourself, okay, I enjoy eating cookies, and yet you may be able to acknowledge, well, if I eat too many, I know I'm going to get a stomach ache. Or for example, you might notice when you drink X amount, you don't sleep as well and you feel tired the next day. Or with regards to television or Netflix, you may absolutely love a show on Netflix, but you may start to become aware that by watching it late into the evening, it may be cutting into time that either you'd be spending with your family or potentially just sleeping. Let's say with shopping, you may find it super fun, but on the same token, be able to acknowledge that when you overspend, it may actually be causing you to have anxiety about your finances. So this is what it would mean to really start getting honest with yourself. Is your buffer of choice, whatever is your preferred buffer of choice, and for most of us, it's not just one, is it actually helping you or is it holding you back from living life to the fullest? And by that, I certainly don't mean, you know, the traditional definition where we are spending in excess and drinking in excess and eating whatever we want because who cares? That's not what I mean. I mean really living the best version of your life. And so let me give you an example of how buffering can really serve as a mask for potentially the symptoms of negative feelings. So let's say, for example, you were to have a patient in your office with a really large carious lesion on number 14, and it is a subgingival carious lesion that's really approximating the pulp. Would you give that patient, you know, pain medications like Tylenol or ibuprofen if you knew that they were in pain and send them on their way? Maybe, maybe not. Would you give them antibiotics and send them on their way? Maybe, maybe not. I will wager to say that the majority of you would actually recommend treatment, right? In the form of, let's say, either a Carrie's control, or in this particular case, it actually happened to be my mom. She did need a root canal. So a root canal was done by me. And afterwards, she had the post, the core, and then a crown placed on the tooth. Thankfully, this tooth was actually restorable, right? So why am I giving you this example? Of course, if pain medication is needed to get the patient comfortable, great, that's totally fine, right? And yet, giving pain medication or antibiotics, they're not solving anything, right? And so in this same vein, you know, let's say we come home and we have a couple drinks, or let's say we come home and we are scrolling social media. Sure, those things might help us to feel better in the short term, right? And yet, they're not actually addressing how we're really feeling, right? So if I'm driving home like I used to, day in, day out, I would be ridden with self-doubts, ridden with feelings of, you know, not being an effective leader for my staff, worrying about a staff member that needed to be trained, worrying that a staff member was going to be quitting because I had a lot of turnover of staff in my short time as an owner. If I'm coming home feeling anxious and I'm eating a brownie, I feel better in the moment. And yet, you know, I'm not really treating what's going on. I'm not actually paying attention to the feelings that I'm having. And mind you, by feeling better temporarily, sorry, I don't know why I'm getting so fumbled with my words. I think I'm going to have a sip of water. One moment. Okay, sorry about that. So by, you know, coming home and having a brownie and feeling better temporarily, sure, I feel better temporarily, but I'm not really getting to the heart of what's going on. And I'm certainly not acknowledging the feelings of, let's say, inadequacy or anxiety that I was feeling at the time. And what happens is, it'd be great if we could buffer and then get rid of those negative feelings, right? Wouldn't that be amazing? We just get rid of the negative feeling, but that's not how it works. When we buffer, we're feeling better temporarily, and yet those feelings, those negative feelings, will still be waiting for us when we, you know, come back to reality, so to speak, right? And so what I would lovingly offer to you is, and I will, of course, elaborate more on this in part two and especially in part three of this podcast episode, this three-part series, rather, is, you know, what would it look like to not buffer, you know? I'm certainly not ever suggesting that we're going to go about life and never buffer, but what would it look like for you specifically to reduce buffering, to toy with the idea of, what kind of coping mechanisms might there be that don't have a negative consequence for me in my life? And what would it look like to actually start to pay attention to some of the feelings that I'm having? Let's say, for example, when I come home after a long day of work. So remember, that primitive part of the brain sees negative feelings as dangerous. It's going to want you to avoid them all the time, right? It's going to tell you to seek happiness because, you know, that's better. So we'll talk more about this in a subsequent episode. I'm deliberately not solving things just in this one episode, but I'm leaving you with that question. Any buffer that you are currently indulging in, is it worth it to you? My hope with this episode is that it helps bring awareness to you. Once we're aware of our current way of acting and coping with negative feelings, we're in a much better position to think about what might be more helpful ways for us to handle negative feelings. So I hope you'll stay tuned for parts two and part three that will be coming soon. Again, if you haven't listened to episode 98, go ahead and listen to that. It will talk a little bit more in depth about that primitive part of the brain, as well as the prefrontal cortex, which is super, super helpful for us as well. And so on that note, I am going to end today's episode. It's almost like deliberately a little bit of a cliffhanger. So I promise we're going to talk about some really great things upcoming in part two and part three. So please stay tuned. I hope this has, however, been very helpful for you, and I can't wait to talk to you next time. Okay, bye. Hey, really quick before signing off, do you want to stop running around like a chicken and finally enjoy your life? Are you ready to start feeling better? Then you need to go download the Busy Dentist Guide to Self-Care. You can get that by going to drnatanya.com/self-care, all one word. You can find it in the show notes. All right, see you later.